Morning. Hope and pray that some of you that had it in Sunday school this morning enjoyed the second part of our lesson that we began with, which is dealing with God, the doctrine of God this morning. I'm hoping this thing will come up. I'm sorry. I'm the other half of my staff is taking care of this, and that's me. So so I'm very sorry about that. I hope you can see the second part of our series, Foundations of the Faith, out of 20 that we're going to be doing. And you'll notice the dates up there that we have coming up. It won't be long that the Jewish New Year will be coming in. It'll be 5770 here coming up between September the 18th and from nightfall to from sunset to nightfall of September the 20th. That there'll be another Jewish New Year. I try to say that three times real quick. Amen. And so I'm looking forward to this morning, and I'm going to have my scripture in just a few minutes that I'll read, and I'll have up here for each and every one of you. And so I want you to just make yourself available. I don't know if this is taking up any the room or something. I don't really need it up there, amen, this morning. But if you would stand with us this morning, take your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. And if you don't have it, you can look right up at the screen. I believe it's up here. Enough of where you can see it. And Isaiah 45:5. Listen to the reading of God's Word this morning. The Bible says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. You may be seated. Let's pray this morning. Father, I want to thank you so much for today. And Lord, as we take your word and show about your wonderful knowledge, Lord, of the foundations of our faith, the basics of what we all believe as evangelical Christians, I pray this morning, may it strengthen our beliefs. And Lord, may we stand firm and be reassured in our eternal promises of those that have been born again. And those, Father, that don't know Jesus, I pray that we'll take this and be able to use it to share the gospel even better with those that are co-workers, those that are around us as our family and friends, and Lord, to be able to tell them the truth about your word, and Lord, to be able to share it with the power and the conviction that only you can give to us to give to others. Use us this morning for your honor and glory, and I pray that you'll take People's Valley Baptist Church and use it to build up lives into the kingdom of God. And bless us this morning with your presence, Father. Lord, no matter what we have in our notes or, Lord, what we've read of this, I pray let your Holy Spirit take over this morning and use us for your honor and glory to speak on your behalf in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, I thank God. David said, such knowledge of God, in other words, is too wonderful for me in Psalms 139:6. You know what? It is wonderful this morning to have the knowledge of God. And as we continue our second series, the foundations of our faith this morning, the basics of what we all believe as Christians this morning, I want to admit this morning before I do go into this that there is nothing in this walk of life, especially as being able to have each one of these things of modern technology, especially PowerPoints. I didn't give you an outline this morning in your thing because I wanted basically to be able to just look up and share with you what I have this morning, amen. But I want to admit the limit of my human mind to be able to preach on such a subject as God this morning. And so I definitely on my best day will not be able to fully grasp everything because he's infinite in everything that we know about him today. And everything that we do know about him is in the Word of God. And I want to emphasize that today, especially with every one of us trying to comprehend with this limited mind that we have today. I mean the best person in this world, if he begins to try to comprehend everything that there is about God, we'll still not be able to cover everything that we can explain about God in just 35 minutes or less this morning. So I want to explain that to you, that there's no way that I can cover everything about this subject, but basically give you a basic guideline in which to follow, and to go and take God's word, and to be able to follow us on it. So I thank God this is the second sermon in our series of our doctrinal confession, and I thank God, Foundations of the Faith. You know, as we begin to look, we began last week by examining the scriptures. And I thank God as a single source which we get all of our doctrine from this morning. And so I thank God. I was reading a story about a farmer, and I've told this before, and as he was going out by his barn, he looked around, and he basically had these bullseyes all over his barn. And right in the center, and I mean the very center of the bullseye, was a hole. And he had a guest that came over one day, and he was looking around, and he said, "Wow, man," he said, you're an awesome shot. Every single shot is exactly in the center of the bullseye on your barn. And so the farmer basically, he said, "Well, I got to be honest with you now." You know, he said, "What happened is I did it like this. I shot the hole into the barn, and then I threw the bullseye around it." And, you know, that's exactly how it is in our lives today. You know, I thank God. The only way that a lot of us is we shoot a bullseye in our life today. We shoot for riches, and then we draw the meaning around it. You know, sometimes we shoot for education, and we draw the meaning around it. We shoot for all of these things that we think are the very spectacular thing of life, and we draw that bullseye around those areas. And, you know, that's not one of the greatest things that we ought to be looking at. I don't know about you, but, you know, a lot of times in this daily walk that we have today, we get so confused because, you know, what we're actually doing is when we hit a bullseye, we do it by really shooting the wrong target a lot of times. In other words, we take a lot of credit for things that God has done on our behalf for us, is what I'm trying to say. And so this week, as we move into like a theology about what we're talking about this morning, if I was to ask you this morning if you believed in God, I'm probably sure that the response would be everybody believes in God. But if I was to ask you to describe God to me, then that would be different. Because there's a lot of people out there today that they would have a hard time being able to do that. Because so many people, they know so many different things about God, at least what they think their concept of God is. And so you would be looking and hearing so many different things, it would be like asking for your version and copy of the Bible, amen. So, you know, I thank God, every one of us this morning, as we look and try to list some of the attributes of God this morning, I thank God, Jeremiah 9:24 says, "But let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord." You know, the Hebrew word translated in this particular text, Jeremiah 9:24, I said, loving kindness. And it basically means test, which means loyal love. God was talking about, he says, "I've hung in there with you." He says, "You didn't hang in there with me, I hung in there with you." Amen. You know, and that's exactly how it is in our life today. He's saying, "I stuck with you, I'm God, I'm the God of justice, you know, I'm the God of righteousness, and I have a standard on earth, and I delight in all of these things," is basically what he's telling us in that Jeremiah 9:24. You see, it's the knowledge of God that always rubs off in history today. That is our most valuable thing that we have, is the knowledge of God that he gives us. And he delights, that is, God does, in displaying his loving kindness and his justice and his righteousness on this earth that we have today. And so you cannot say that you know God unless he's rubbed off you that about him that you can understand. You know, unless it has affected you in such a way that you treat your husband and your wife, you raise your kids in such a way, you spend your money in such a way that you relate to other people in your relationship, unless you have the knowledge of God, I'm going to tell you something, that has changed you, then you don't know Jesus. You don't know God. You don't know the Holy Spirit the way that you ought to know Him, because He has to rub off on you in such a way that you know the knowledge of God personally. And so the purpose of this morning's message is to take a closer look at the person and at the nature of God Himself, amen. How do you say all of that in 35 minutes? It's impossible, or less. And I thank God, my wife will make sure that it's less, because she'll be, you know, giving me that signal, amen. Of course, I need that from her. And hand in hand, she's my watch keeper for me. But I thank God, every one of us, this series is basically to familiarize you and to get you ready with the basics of what you can take a little bit further. And so I thank God, as we begin to look at this, we begin to see a couple of things. First of all, these are the three things that I'm going to be talking about this morning: who God is not, who God is, or who is God, and how can we know Him? And thirdly, what difference does it make in our lives? Those are the things that I'm going to be talking about very briefly this morning. The first thing is who God is not. And that is easier to be able to say. You know, because if you was to ask Americans today, every one of us across America would have a different thing about, well, what do you believe in God? And I think God, according to Fox News polls, this is recently one done, it was back in 2004, June the 18th, 92% of Americans say that they believe in God. 85% believe in heaven. And then 82% they say they believe in miracles. You know, though the belief in God has remained at about probably the same level for a long time, as I told you, that was taken back in 2004, and it's still about the same in the belief of that. Still, in the last few years, probably about the belief of God has remained about that same level since about 1997, from about 63% to 71% is maintained about the same today. That everybody believes that there's God, you know. But I tell you, there's a third of Americans that actually believe in ghosts or spirits, 34%. 34% in UFOs, 25% reincarnation, 24% in witches. I mean, you know, everybody believes in something today. But overall, most Americans, is what I'm trying to say, they think that religion plays a very important part in the role in all of our lives today. We know that we just a few days ago remembered 9/11. What a catastrophe. What had happened. None of us will never forget what happened on 9/11 for the rest of our lives. You know, in America's history, amen. But I thank God of all the things that we could break down and look at, usually there's only about 3% that attend church on holidays. 15% never ever attend. You know, can you imagine? You got about 40% that rarely or never ever attend any kind of a church at all. And so, you know, everything today that we think about the country, the claim to believe in God, the question then should, do you believe in God? But I believe it should be a different question. In what God do you believe? That ought to be the question that we really ask today. You know, because there are so many different people today that they think that they know God, and they're not all speaking about the same person. They don't know what we're saying this morning, because many well-intended Christians today simply are ignorant of the truth. They don't really know about God the way that they should. They don't really know the things about God and what He's trying to share with us in His Word, amen. And I thank God that sometimes you can hear somebody say, well, you know, we all worship the same God, don't we? No, we don't. We don't all worship the same God. You know, we don't worship the same God that Muslims do as Allah. That's different. You say, how do you know that? Well, I know a couple of Muslims that used to be Muslims that are child of God right now, and their name is Ergun and his brother Erman Cancer. And if you ain't never heard of these guys, they're preaching all across the country. They Muslims that's been changed and saved by God's marvelous grace. And they wrote a book called Unveiling Islam. And one of the things that I want to quote, they said this, Christians and Muslims do not worship the same God unless Muslims wish to agree that Jesus is God and Lord. That's not going to happen. I'm going to tell you, the popular notion that Jews, Christians, and Muslims all worship the same God is blasphemous to all three religions and founded only in modern pluralism. Jews do not worship Jesus, nor do the Muslims. For the Christians, not to adhere to the Trinity is not to be Christian at all. Yes, there is one God, and He is in control of everything and everyone. Yes, according to the teachings of all, will stand before Him in judgment. But to say that all worship the same God, generic name for Him, is like saying that all references must refer to the same person. I'm going to tell you, it's not so. You know, the same is true of God worshiped by other false religions today. The God of the Mormons, they believe that we are was, and He is, we shall someday be. And that's the wording of the Mormons, the way they believe. God is another way of looking at Him as He, that we shall be like Him someday. And that's their kind of, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, they deny the divinity of God, Holy Spirit, and they teach that the doctrine of the Trinity is heresy. You know, we can look at a lot of other things. We can look at the New Agers out there today, and they believe that God is a higher force of some kind, some sort of cosmic energy that they believe, some nubulus that is an indeterminate God forgive us that people think all of these things. The Hollywood has the God of sentimentality that's out there today. So you have so many different beliefs of what God truly is and what the doctrine of God is. But I thank God for Al Mohler, Richard Land, and Chuck Baptist faith message. And one of the things that they say, that truth is that many Americans have only a superficial idea of God. The God they imagine is not the living God of the Bible, but more the product of sentiment, the way Hollywood believes. And so, you know, the list could go on and on and on and on. But let me tell you how you can know by what Scripture reveals. That's how we can know what God is about today. Even though that it may be limited in some things, we don't know everything about God. But what we do know, Scripture tells us what God is and what we believe today. Reminds me of this, heard it before. He was pecking on a tree, about like that one that pecked on one of mine and about messed it up. But the woodpecker was pecking away, and all of a sudden he flew off the tree. About that time, lightning come, split that tree in two, and that woodpecker looked back and he said, "Whoa, look what I did." You know, that's a lot of us the same way. We're spiritual woodpeckers today. We're like King Nebuchadnezzar. In all that we do, we look, and King Nebuchadnezzar says, "Look at that Babylon that I built." You know, we say, "Look at this home that I have built. Look at this car that I drive. Look at this school that I went to. Look at this job that I have, amen. Look at all of these things that I've done, amen." But the only reason that we have anything is that God let lightning strike, amen. Amen. I thank God today. God has given us everything that we have today. And I tell you, if we're to look just a little below the surface, we can see that who God is depends on who you ask today. Who you ask about God is one of the most important things. So we see who God is not by all of these things that is out there today, amen. But I thank God that we're able to be able to see that also, as we look at that, I can't really see it on mine, but we studied last week there's two types of revelation, amen, that we get to. And I thank God we said there was a general revelation and there was a special revelation. And I thank God for being able to see that. We begin to see the difference in what that was, amen. And the difference that general revelation is we know about God through nature. And then the special revelation is Scripture. Because Scripture is how we know God is what He is, who He is, and everything about God today, amen. And I thank God as we begin to look at that general revelation, the evidence of God is clearly observed in nature, amen. It is that special revelation that is God's chosen method of self-disclosure for all humanity to see Him and to know Him personally in a relationship today, amen. I thank God as we look at this, we also see who God is or who is God and how can we basically know Him. And we know Him through basically being able to look at the theology itself, amen. As we look at this, the word theology is derived from two Greek words, which you see, which means theos. It means God, and then logos, amen. Brother Bulletin was talking about this the other day, which means word. And I thank God as we look at theology, it's nothing more than being able to know about the doctrine of God through His Word this morning, amen. And it begins to tell us and share with us, amen, the things that we know. A Southern Baptist theology about God is rooted and grounded solely in Scripture, amen. And I thank God, I like what the Baptist faith message says. It says this, and I quote them, "There is one and only one living and true God. He's an intelligent, spiritual, and personal being, the creator, the redeemer, the preserver, and the ruler of the universe. God is infinite in holiness and all other perfection. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and His perfect knowledge extends to all things, past, present, and future, including the future decisions of His free creatures. To Him we owe the highest love, reverence, and obedience. The eternal triune God reveals Himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with distinct personal attributes, but without division of nature, essence, or being." Boy, I thank God this is a good summation of our theology of what God is as evangelical Christians today. And I thank God, you know, it's different from what the Roman Catholic Church believes, that we didn't get our beliefs about God from church tradition. It doesn't come from the community, what we know about God today, amen. It doesn't come from expert teachers, what we know about God today, amen. Or from postmodernism, amen, of all the things that we believe of God. Our theology does not come from the fertile imaginations that are out there today of all of the zealots and people that are of some type of hierarchy. Today, the fundamental of every one of our faith as Christians today is an understanding that God is a God of revelation, amen. It is through the Scripture, amen, that He has revealed Himself to all humanity is what I'm trying to say. And so to understand this, amen, you have to understand the very simple principle that eternal life and the quality of life, amen, that God has intended for every one of us, amen, to be able, it equals the knowledge of Him, amen. You know what? In John 17:3, the Bible says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." You know what? If you want to live, He's saying, don't go looking for life, is what John is talking about. He said, you got to look for the knowledge of God. That's how you know what life is all about, amen. And I thank God, if you're not succeeding in life today, it's because you're not succeeding in the knowledge of God. If you're not succeeded, amen, and being able to know the best for your life today, it's because you're lacking the knowledge of God. So if you want to live, amen, don't go looking, amen, for life. Look for the knowledge of God. Many of us who are alive today, I thank God, have never yet learned how to live. You know, we think that we're living all wrapped up in things and because of money, of education, of prestige and power today, but we're not really living today. The only way that we can really be living is have the knowledge of God today, to know Him in a personal relationship, amen. And so I thank God, that's exactly what John 17:17 says when Jesus says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth," amen. And I thank God, telling the truth, there's only one standard of information that clarifies what life is all about. And that standard is the word of God, amen. That is our standard today. That is what we have to authentically, amen, to be able to say, I know the truth. I know God. I know the doctrine of God because I've been learning it from His Word of God, amen. What it means, amen. And so I thank God that is the real truth that every one of us. I tell you, sometimes today, if somebody was to ask you, especially a lady, now I don't want my wife to take this wrong because when she asks my opinion, I tell her my opinion. She knows I tell her the truth. But a lot of times it might be somebody, say a lady says, well, how does this dress look on me? Well, that's the worst thing I ever saw in my life. You would never say that, would you? But a lot of times when we don't tell the truth to people, sometimes when somebody asks our opinion, and especially when we're trying to tell them about Jesus, we'll tell them everything but the truth sometimes because we're afraid we're going to hurt their feelings. We're afraid we're going to tell them they're a lost sinner dying on their way to hell. But before we do that, before we hurt their feelings, we won't tell them the truth, amen. You know, we're afraid we'll offend somebody, amen. And I tell you, God, that's what I like about knowing the doctrine of God, because He will not water it down. The Word of God will not water it down, but it told me that I was dead in my sins and trespasses when I got saved under the blood of Jesus Christ, amen. And because of that, God's knowledge and Word begin to reveal to me that I was sinful, amen, as I said this morning in Luke 5:8. Oh, Peter began to look at the Word of God through Jesus, and he said, oh, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And that's how I knew I was sinful. The truth came out by knowing the knowledge of God personally through His Scripture, amen. And that's the real us today. That's the truth, that when God unveils who He is, amen, the knowledge will also unveil who we are. And then when the Word of God is opened up and we begin to see the sin and the dirt and the filth that is in our life, we begin to realize that we know that we need a Savior. We know that we need a God, amen. The real thing, amen. The one that can give us forgiveness of all of our sins, amen. And it is one of the most important truths that is being left out with mankind today, amen. To be able to tell them that Jesus loves them, amen. To tell them that God the Father sent His Son here for them, amen. Well, I tell you, sometimes, of all the things that we see today, Scripture is the only certain word that we have about God, amen, that tells us that we are made in His image, amen. This is important because when we begin to look, many people think that God, they begin to think of Him in human terms, amen. Anthropomorphism, amen. Basically in a human term, that they relate to God through a human way. Well, you know, this is how I can relate to God because, well, you know, Brother John Smith, he's the best person I've ever met in my life. And because he's good, well, that must be how God is. You know, sure, we want to get a point across. We want to shed the light of God to the world. But I'm going to tell you something. Most people, that's the only concept that they have of being able to relate to God through human terms, amen. You know, and it's sad, through human characteristics. They try to think of God in sentimental ways or understanding through the lens of a personal experience, amen. Always trying to envision God within the confines of how they would understand other human beings. You can't do that. Instead of understanding God within the confines of human persons, we need to recognize that we're finite and we're a fallen replica of His infinite, divine, and perfect person that He is today, amen. We were created in His image, amen, in His creator. I thank God we are that creature of Him, amen, that will always, always never know everything that is about Him. So I thank God, let me allow you several things that I believe that God can tell us about Himself in Scripture, amen. And I tell you, that is the only way that we can know about Him this morning is through the Word of God, amen. I tell you, I hope that you can see some of those. But each one of those, as I talk about them, I thank God He is the only true God. You know, it's almost like the story of the scorpion, amen. The scorpion was looking across this pond, and you hear the story all of your life, and he sees a frog over there, and he says, "Hey, you know, I'd like to get across this water over there. Can you help me get across?" And he says, "Sure, get on my back." He takes him across. Before he gets over, that scorpion stings him. And the frog says, "Man, why did you do that for? You know, I mean, I helped you across the water here in this pond. Why did you sting me, scorpion?" He says, "I can't help it. It's my nature." You know, that's exactly how it is today when you look at life and all the things that are happening out there today. You know, the nature that we have to know the nature of the one you're dealing with, amen. And if you think that you're getting one thing, amen, but when you get it, it's not what you thought it was, then you're going to be in trouble. And there's a lot of people out there today, whether it's the Mormons, whether it's the Jehovah's Witnesses, and whether it's your Catholics, a lot of them, they think that they're getting the nature of God, but they're not, is what I'm trying to say. And I'm telling you, the only way is through the Scripture, the Holy Scriptures of the Word of God. And that's the only concept of the doctrine of God that we as believers can ever come to terms on, amen. Because I thank God, Isaiah 45:5 that we read when we began, "I am the Lord, there is no other," amen. "There is no God but me," amen. And I tell you, I thank God of all of the different beliefs that are out there today, God is the only one. But He says in number one, He's sovereign, amen. He's sovereign. He's omnipotent, in other words. He's the one that possesses everything that's complete, amen. He's unlimited, amen. He is universal, amen. He has the power. He has the authority, thank God. And I tell you, I thank God as we begin to look, Jeremiah 32:27 says, "There is nothing too hard for Him," amen. You know, I'm telling you today, He says, "Behold, I am the Lord, and the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" No. There is nothing too hard for God today. God's sovereignty speaks to His rule and reign over all things that is here today. Amen. His sovereignty, His holiness, amen. It means that God is able to bring His will to pass, listen, whatsoever He wills. He is not limited by anything, amen. And I tell you, I thank God as we begin to look at the sovereignty of God that it speaks and Scripture goes all the way through. God is holy in Isaiah 6:3, it tells us. He says, "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. His glory fills the whole earth." You know, the word holy is often used in Scripture to speak about the Christian being separated from sin and separated unto God. But when the Scripture uses the word holy, it describes God the best that it can be described. It's speaking not only of his righteousness and his perfection, amen. But I thank God of the reality that he is separate, amen, and he's different from all of us, amen. I thank God, number three, God is infinite, amen. And I thank God, that is, he's eternal. He's never held by space and time and matter, amen. I thank God, 2 Peter 3:8, for where the Lord is a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. How many of us remember that scripture? In other words, time doesn't mean anything to God, is what he's saying. He is infinite, amen. He's not held by the standards that we are held today. He is a spirit, amen. And you have to worship him in spirit and truth, the Bible says. So I thank God, he, as a limited being as we are today, as finite beings, amen, who ourselves, we're confined to time and space, and it's difficult for us to even conceive of the aspect of God, amen, as Scripture begins to tell us. It's hard for us to understand that. But God is omnipresent, amen. In other words, there's no place that he's not, amen. Psalms 139, verses 1 through 24 tells it the best, amen, that he's talking about. The psalmist is saying, the extraordinary knowledge is beyond me, in other words, the psalmist says, it's lofty that I'm unable to reach it. You know, I tell you, you read that entire chapter of Psalms 139, and you'll see exactly what the psalmist is talking about, amen. I tell you, every one of us, there's no way that we can ever keep up with the presence, because he's here. He's able to be with me at my prayer time, and you at your prayer time, and on the other side of the world. He's able to cover everybody's prayer time, listen to everybody, so he is omnipresent, amen. I tell you, there's no place that he's not. Number five, he's omnipotent, amen. And I thank God, as you see that, Psalms 139:4, it says, before a word is on my tongue, you may know all about it. In other words, as soon as I think it, he already knows it. The deepest secrets that you've ever kept from everybody, God knows what that is this morning. God knows what you're lacking this morning before you ask it. God knows what your needs are this morning. I tell you, he's omnipotent, amen. I tell you, he knows all things. The past, the present, the future, and I tell you what, the possible as well as the actual, he's covered every one of them. There is nothing in which God has escaped his knowledge, amen, or understanding. He knew you was going to marry the mate that's beside you right now. He knew exactly what was going to happen to you a year ago before it happened, amen. Yes, he knows those details. His knowledge is a way that is nothing can compare to it. I don't even have another word that I can come up with that can compare to what God is able to do. Six, and he is unchanging, amen. The technical term is immutable, in other words. When we think of the immutability of God, amen, we are talking about the fact that God's not capable or susceptible of change, amen, either by increase or by decrease, to develop by self-evolution, amen. He's unchangeable, amen. Invariable, he's permanent. He doesn't change just for Mr. Bulletin or just for Brother Bob Carroll over here. He doesn't do anything any different for you than he does anybody else. He's unpersuadable. When it's sin, amen. And judgment must come and fall that way, amen. He doesn't do anything different than it should be permitted, amen. Malachi 3:6, because I, Yahweh, have not changed, he, amen. He says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, amen. Hebrews 1:12, amen. Nor does God not change, amen. But his moral principles do not change. I tell you, he is who he is, and he's always been, and he will always be who he is, amen. He'll never change, thank God. But I thank God, not only is he sovereign and holy and infinite and omnipresent and omnipotent and unchanging, but lastly in that, also number seven, as I continue on, basically God is righteous, amen. I tell you, he's both righteous, and I thank God he's just in everything that he does today. He's the author of justice, amen. He's the standard by which fairness and justice is measured for all of our lives today. Every one of us today. Deuteronomy 32:4. A faithful God without prejudice. He's righteous and true. He doesn't look, he don't care what your skin color is. He don't care where you came from, what part of the country. He don't care if you're a northerner, Brother Bob, or you're a southerner, amen, Brother David. Amen. I'm going to tell you, he don't care, amen. He's who he is today, praise God. I'm glad of that. I'm glad that, hey, oh, Brother Darrell, you're a southerner, you got to stay out of the family of God, amen. Well, I'm glad that I don't have things like that the way men are today and how they segregate people, amen. But I thank God, what a wonderful thing to know God is righteous and just, amen. And I tell you, we're so surrounded by injustice on this earth today, amen. I tell you that everybody today, they just pull it out of their pocket. or either it's in their pocket. Oh, you pay me a couple of bucks. Yeah, I'll take care of you. Yeah. Amen. That's how it is in the world. But God is just, amen. He's righteous, amen. Number 8, it says He's merciful. Psalms 103:8, amen. The Lord is compassionate, amen. He's gracious and slow to anger. And listen, I thank God, He's full of faithful love, amen. You know what? While God is just, He's also gracious, amen. He's merciful, amen. But you know what? Sometimes we got the wrong concept of Him, because today people in the world say, He's so loving, He's so merciful, He won't send me to hell. He's too loving, He's too kind of God. But listen, He's a God of justice as well. And He has to be right in everything that He does, amen. I tell you, mercy speaks to God withholding punishments that every one of us deserve, while grace speaks to His giving, amen, us good things, amen, that we do not deserve. He gave me something that I do not deserve today, amen. I don't deserve eternal life for what I've done and all of the things. None of us does. But because He loved me, and because I said, I'm going to make a choice, Lord, I want You to come into my heart and life. I choose You, Lord. And because of that, boy, I'm going to tell you, I thank God that I have the privilege of giving the promise of eternal life forever and ever when this old walk of life, this old fleshly nature. Everybody today is setting everything about the physique, the body. Man, I tell you, I like to try to stay in shape, but I know one of these days, it's like that guy that was talking about, he said, Dad, you need to go to the gym. He says, well, why? He said, you're out of shape. He said, no, I got a shape. I'm round, amen. He said, you know, he talked about these guys out there running today. Whoa, I get a spiritual high at about the 6 mile. Oh, keep on. You get a spiritual high, brother. Hey, man, I get a good one when I'm just sitting on the couch sometimes. But it ain't about, hey, it's not about the physique. It's about the spirit, amen. It's about the spirit, I thank God. God is love, number 9, amen. This means that God is ever about the business, amen, of giving Himself, amen, to others today. 1 John 4:8, amen. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love, amen. Jesus tells us in Matthew, amen, that God's love is for all creation, amen. That He calls the sun to shine, the rain to fall, the just and the unjust alike. God loves all of His creation, and He does so with a selfless, with a sacrificial kind of love, amen. But God is ever about the business of inviting us to experience it, amen, through Him, amen. And I thank God that is one of the things. But I thank God we come to our last point, amen, and I'm just in enough time that everything's going okay. As we look at this, what difference does it make in our lives? And I hope and pray as you look at this, I get all them up there. I'm sorry my PowerPoint didn't come out good on me on that. But I thank God, what difference does it make in our lives? And I thank God as I begin to look at this, not only in this world, but in the world to come, it makes all the difference in the world. Because I thank God today as I begin to look at some of the things in my life, knowing God gives all of us a purpose. It adds a reason and a rational to our lives, and it tells us that there is a God in heaven, that He is the one that is on the throne, amen. Not only does He care for us, but He created every one of us for a purpose this morning, amen. And I thank God, there ain't no hopelessness in life today. There is a purpose, amen, that every one of us has to go out and to disciple and to tell people about God, amen, and what He's able to do. And while there remains a certain mystery to God, amen, there is so much about Him that we probably do not understand, and we probably never will, amen. But He is who He is today, amen. And I thank God as I begin to look and see that many of us are failing, we begin to find that the only completeness that we will ever have is in God, amen. And I tell you, I thank God, that's the greatest completeness that we'll have, the greatest statement, amen. David wrote in Psalms 23, while he was reflecting on the old occupation, amen, as a shepherd, he was saying, David knew God, amen. He was talking about the Psalms was reflecting on the intimacy that he had with God. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, amen. Boy, I tell you, it was the knowledge of God, God Himself, that said that David was a man after God's own heart, amen. And I tell you, many of us are failing in our lives because we want to make God into a man today, and He's not, amen. David is saying, let God be God, amen. I tell you, when sheep try to make shepherds into sheep, is the sheep are going to be confused about it. You know, I thank God as long as the sheep let the shepherd be the shepherd, amen, they'll have someone that's going to lead them beside the still waters, amen. They're going to have someone, amen. Sheep cannot take the place of shepherds, amen. Shepherds do not want to become like sheep, amen. Stop trying to let God be like you today and simply let God be God is what I'm preaching about. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He says, I shall not want, amen, the psalmist said, David, amen. You know, I tell you, let your Lord, God, be your shepherd, amen. He will take care, amen, of what your needs are today. He will meet every one of those needs that you're going through today. As we look at it and see that He will take care of those spiritual needs in your life, amen. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, amen. He leads me beside still waters, amen. He restores my soul. He has those spiritual needs that can meet for you that nobody else can meet today, amen. He is that shepherd, amen. Who you are and who He is, amen. He gives you back your soul, amen. And you never truly know that you're living until you learn the knowledge of God of who He is. And then when you accept Him for yourself and have a personal relationship, you're the one that says, yes, He makes me to lie down in those green pastures. Yes, He leads me beside the still waters. Yes, He restores my soul because I know truly what it is to know God. And because I know that, I know what I'm living about today. I know what I'm preaching about today. I know the God of the Bible, praise God. He gives me my spiritual needs. He meets them, amen. I tell you, the Bible tells us about the broad way that leads to destruction today. The other way is the narrow way that leads to life, amen. But the fundamental differences that appear between these two roads today is there is a broad road that is crowded today, amen. And there's a lot of parties that are happening on the broad road. But man, when they run out of gas, amen, they're by the wayside and they're staying there, amen. I'm going to tell you something, but when the narrow road, amen, the Lord, He looks less pretty maybe sometimes, less crowded on the narrow road, amen. But you don't have to worry about all of the fanfare. You don't have to worry about the crowd. But man, Jesus Christ, when He moves up and down that narrow road in your life, amen, you might have to pull over in the ditch for a little while, but it won't be long. He'll come up there, He'll top off your gas tank, and He'll get you right on down the road, amen. I tell you, I thank God today that He'll meet your spiritual needs. He'll take care of your directional needs, amen. David continues, he said, He guides me in the path of righteousness, amen, for His name's sake, amen. Every one of us, David led the sheep, amen. Every now and then a dumb sheep would wander off, amen, and I'm going to tell you, I'm a dumb sheep sometimes. I wander off, and if you don't say otherwise, you are really denying your faith. I'm going to tell you, because I've been a dumb sheep for many a time. I've wandered off, amen, but I thank God that David, he would leave that flock, amen, and he would find that one sheep. Boy, I tell you, that's the God that I know. He'll lead and He'll go after you, praise God, and He'll bring you back, amen, into the fold of God. Boy, I tell you, He will take care of your needs, amen, your directional needs, amen. He will put you back on the track that you need. He will guide you in the path of righteousness, amen, for His name's sake, amen. Every one of us, amen. He can take a lost sheep and make it found, amen. Boy, I tell you, He can take wrong decisions, amen, and He can make them right today. Boy, I tell you, He can make the wrong life that you took down in the road a way back and reconnect you on the right road, amen. Boy, I tell you, He can do those things if you know God, the knowledge of the Word, amen. Boy, I tell you, of all the things that we look at today of the spiritual needs, but He can take care of my emotional needs as well. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me, amen. Boy, when sheep get lost, they come between two mountains, amen, two crevices, right in that same time frame, amen. The sun casts a shadow over that path, amen. I tell you, sometimes I'm not too smart in my Christian walk, amen. I get in that shadow a lot of times. I get down in that valley. I'm going through a testing sometimes. You might be going through a test. You may never know the answer to what that testing is sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, when that shadow comes over you, amen, but I tell you, He'll take that rod, that club, and it's designed to pulverize any enemies that are around us, and He'll defend you, amen, and He'll take care of your emotional needs, amen. When you get depressed and when you get down and out, David has got caught in all of the thickets of life, amen, because of his immorality with Bathsheba and adultery in the Bible, amen, and all of his children, what happened. But I tell you, God's rod protected him, and God's staff
pulled him back, amen. And God's grace covered him even when there was adultery. And when he had the old woman's husband killed, amen, God began to still take and protect him. And boy, I tell you, I learned that from God's word about God. And that's how I know the God that I'm serving today, praise God. Boy, I tell you, he will take care of your emotional needs, amen. Every one of us today, whatever you're going through, whether it's depression or whatever challenge, he'll meet your physical needs, amen. Thou doest prepare a table before me in the presence of thine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head, amen, with oil. My cup runneth over. Boy, I tell you, inside the pouch of that old shepherd, man, he would have a little place that he would pull out. It would be another little cloth, and it would put on the ground. When he'd go get that little lost sheep, amen, he'd put the meal, he'd put some food on that cloth that he kept within close to his loins, amen. That was the table, amen. That's exactly what God does, man, when we take off. Man, when we get out of it, when he comes and gets us, he feeds us that spiritual nourishment that we need, amen. He meets our physical needs. I tell you, I thank God, that's exactly. That cup, boy, he just fills that cup up till it runs over, letting that little sheep say, hey, I got plenty more where this come from. I'm going to tell you, he'll take care of your physical needs today, amen. When you stay in God's will and God's way, amen, I tell you, he gives you your daily bread, amen. He meets your needs, amen. He'll take care of your eternal needs as well, amen. I tell you, lastly, in closing, I know I'm over, but I thank God. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's my eternal needs, amen. I thank God he will meet. If you're down, amen, he'll lift you up, amen. He'll give you the decision that you need today. His heads are bowed and his eyes are closed. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for the message. And I pray that, God, that there's someone here this morning. Lord, they may be going through something in their life. Lord, they may have denied that they are doing all of the right things. Lord, they're taking all of the credit for something that you've done. But Lord, really, Lord, you have let the lightning strike. Lord, you are the one, Father, that's really hit the bullseye in all of our lives. But God, we ask you, we take and we give everything to you this morning. Father, whatever our need is, Lord, we don't want to deny, Lord, who you are this morning. That God, that you'll come alongside us and meet whatever needs that are lacking in our life. You complete us this morning. And I pray that People's Valley Baptist Church, if there's someone here, whatever hurt and whatever pain that they're going through this morning, Lord, his heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will let them, Lord, re-experience the God of the Word this morning, of your knowledge, that you love us and you know everything about us. And you want us, Lord, to have that peace and tranquility that you provide this morning. If we'll just ask, Lord, we've just forgot about you. Lord, we forgot focusing on you this morning. We're focusing on all of our issues and our problems, and our depression is overtaking us, Lord, and everything, our finances and everything. But God, if we'll take our eyes off of the focus of these things and put it back on you this morning, Lord, you'll supply our every need. You'll get us through these times in which we're going through today that are changing times in the economy, and bless us this morning. In Jesus' marvelous, mighty name, amen. Amen. As we stand this morning, we want to open the doors of People's Valley Baptist Church. Look at page number 309. By letter, by baptism, by statement of faith, this morning you come and you can receive that shepherd, amen. You can be able to respond with something that God will respond immediately if you'll ask him, amen, for the help. If you'll be focused all your eyes off of those other things that have overcome and incapacitated you, and say, God, I need you. I need the one that is able, that's all-knowing, that's in every issue, that knows everything, all-powerful. I need your help this morning in my situation. If you'll refocus on God this morning, the God of the Word of God this morning, he will help you to make that escape out of that area that you've been battling with for so long. They start singing this morning. You come. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. For you.